Once again, welcome. I thought I would give you a few highlights. I trust everything went well here last week. I did talk to Chris. I think you had quite a few here, despite we taking quite a few members with us. So I was glad that you had a good turnout and things went well. So I thought I'd recap. I don't have that many. I've only got 16 slides, if you will. A far cry from 125. So it shouldn't take me that long. So let me give you a recap on what we did in New York. And I was given passages on standing up, if you will. And I won't give the sermon today, of course, and I probably won't give it here ever because a lot of you were there or listening. But there was one slide at the end that I've added. Brother McCann gave me this scripture after my sermon. It says, you would should probably include this. So I have, for those that were there or didn't see it, this is the only real slide that I have. Who is this person? And the scripture says, ye have power over this people, and shall smite the earth with a famine, and with pestilence and destruction, according to the wickedness of the people. And, this is great power that this person was given. And you don't find that too often, that somebody, God trusts them so much that he turned over this power. He didn't have it physically in his hand, but he says, if you pray, I'm going to do whatever you ask. And do we know who this is?
Nephi.
Yeah, it was Nephi, the son of Moroni, and the son of maybe Moroni. I can't remember. But he was given these. That's a good answer. Because I'm not sure I would have got the name. I'm not good on names, but excellent. And he had just returned from this trip, and it was unsuccessful. And he'd went across everywhere, and he returned to the land of his birth, and that was Zarahemla. And he's returned back, and he's so depressed that it's not going. The people are not listening. They're rejecting the gospel. He was so distraught that he went up here on this thing, and I think it's like they built these things, and they have several of them if you go through that area. And they're like a wailing wall, if you will. Very Jewish thing. Well, anyway, they have this tower, and he was up there wailing. And he gathered a crowd around him because they wanted to know what he was crying about. And at that time, the Lord gave him some things. And he gave him quite a sermon we're not going to get into. But the main thing I want to point out, let's see what other slide I have on that. No, this is the only one. The main thing I want to highlight about that sermon that you're not going to get is sometimes the Lord calls, and he calls us to do very different things. Sometimes it's to the ministry, sometimes it's a calling to go somewhere, but it's a direct call. He comes, it's a verbal, and it's very forceful. Sometimes the Lord leads us, and we get often that, you know, if we're in indecision, which way should I go, Lord? We ask him, and we often, every one of us has probably said, the Lord led me. And when you look at those two things, we often talk about those. And it's, what does it mean? It means the Lord is telling us something to do. You know, he's either calling us, or he's telling you, go that way. And those are the main things we talk about. But there's a third path that I talked about, and I had a lot of examples. The great stories of the Bible, if you will. And this is another one we use. And this guy went on all these missionary trips. And the Lord said, because you had, boy, I should probably have that scripture in front of me, but it says, because you did all these things on your own, you stepped out in faith, I'm going to give you all this authority. Whatever you want to destroy this people, to correct them, it's up to you. And it was, it's those, all those examples show our initiative. We don't have to be wait, you know. And I heard this from Amanda, that she came home and a Baptist minister's wife, and they asked her what she should do. Amanda asked her, what do you do in church? You know, like we were asked in Yucatan. And she says, I don't do anything. The Lord, I would if the Lord led me. That's wrong. And I feel comfortable talking about her because she's not in our church. But if that's your attitude, that you're going to wait, the Lord's not going to call you to do that. Because it's your attitude that I don't want to do it. I'm going to wait. Because the Lord, He's not going to make us do anything. He wants us to see what we're willing to do. And you know, as I looked through those stories, I seen a story developing. You know, and I thought about our children, you know. Do we want to have to tell them everything they have to do? You know, how much nicer, how much more they love us when they just come up and give us a hug and things like that. And the Lord's no different. You know, sometimes we have to step out. Like this brother, he'd been unweariness. And I probably should turn to it, but I won't. He was unweary preaching the gospel. And finally, you know, after his failures out there because of the people, it wasn't him, he was penitent to the Lord, and the Lord says, blessed thou art, Nephi, you know, because of your labors anyway, your unweariness is the term he used. So that's just the thought I had at that that I was given for that sermon, but it was a very powerful, to me, it was a very powerful thing. And it changed my thinking about waiting for the Lord to tell us what to do. He wants us to step out. The other, I guess here, and they did reject his words. Okay, this is insomuch that he could not stay with them, but returned again to the land of his nativity. That's talking about him. Blessed art thou, Nephi, here it is. Blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done. For I have beheld how thou hast unweariedly declared the word which I have given thee. And that was the second time that he gave them. When he came to the Nephites, the land of Zarahemla, he gave them the words to speak. They were still rebellious, but he gave them the words to speak. And thou hast not feared them, and not sought thine own life. So that was his decision. He went before them, didn't know what they were going to do to him, but he spoke it anyway, all these places. But has sought my will, and to keep my commandments. And now, because thou hast done such a thing unweariedness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and deed, in faith and works. And if you do study this out, and I hope you do, look at the examples in chapter 11. It talks about faith. And it says, faith is the things we hope for. Those things we truly desire, we will do. If we don't do them, then we didn't really desire it. And the other part that you'll find in chapter 11 there, you'll find a lot of examples with faithfulness. It wasn't a knowledge, it was faithfulness, because they grabbed a hold of those things, and they did. Faith is incomplete if it doesn't have faithfulness. All right? And the last thing I wanted to bring up on that was that it says, without faith or faithfulness, it's impossible to please Him. Impossible. So unless we have that desire to serve and that stepping out, it's impossible to please Him. You know, it's just like our children. If we have to tell them everything to do, that's not love. It's when they do it and they show that they care. And so that's what I was given. I was very happy for that. It burdened me to not know that, but I think I have a clearer understanding. The other ministers, along those same themes, a lot of them, the theme of, like we were asked today, Matthew 28 through 30 in our Sunday school, it talks about being yoked. And I have this unequally yoked. And it's talking about being yoked, and that's, we won't go over that. But I'll just tell you about the sermons real quickly, because like I say, I don't think a lot of material today. But let me tell you that Joel spoke directly to that Matthew 28 through 30 about the yoke. And it talked about the Jews missing their opportunity when he talked to the Lord, talked to them. And as we talked in our Sunday school today, the great majority rejected it. He says, let us labor. And he talked about we have to labor. Overcome with Christ. And it says, you know, we're not strong enough. As a song we just sang, we're not strong enough on our own to withstand these. So we have to overcome things with Christ. The fourth thing I have here is we're to labor before the Lord before you get the reward. So our labor comes first and then our reward, not the other way around. And the fifth thing I got here is I give men weakness. I make weak things strong. You know, truly, he's picked a, you know, if you look at those examples in the Bible there, you can find that each one of them, whether they're children, they were adults that were in prison or weak, they were weakened individuals like Moses, didn't have the ability, like myself, I can't speak very well, but he uses those weak things so nobody can brag about those. And that's how what he uses, the weak, and he makes them strong. So no man can boast of their own strength. Isn't it very loud? We're having a little trouble with it. I thought maybe it might be better if I didn't put it at all. We might have better range. Now it might cut out. So we're correcting that. Bear with us for a couple of weeks until we get a new amplifier, new microphone system that will be stronger range. So I hope it doesn't cut out. All right, Martin Addy spoke about, was the next to speak, and he spoke, be the church. And he's seen this billboard, and it says, be the church, an active part. So we are the church. You know, if we don't like something, we change it. I mean, if it doesn't jive with the scriptures, we have the ability to change it. So we are the church, the apostles, the priests, the membership, the prophets, and so forth. We all carry those, and that is the church with Christ at the head. Active part of participation. Be an active part of participation. Christ is, again, this theme comes up, Christ helping us carry the load. So we're weak, we need Christ to carry the load. Service is a part of our fellow beings. Service of our fellow beings, you are in the service of the Lord. And he's quoting Mosiah, and I have that same quote actually today. We're to share our testimonies, and Martin shared his. You know, and if you're not familiar with Martin, he's had a lot of burdens in his life, and he's very maimed, if you will, but he perseveres and he carries on the gospel all over the United States. So he's very faithful. Never too old to make corrections. If we are too old to make corrections, it's time to die, actually. Sounds coarse, but that's why we're here, to make corrections. And when we overserve our usefulness, the Lord hopefully will take us. Because we don't go back the other way, do we? Gordon McCann talked about being reconciled unto God, a work to be performed that saves us through grace. Given the freedom to choose, God desires us to be with him. Yeah, that's his desire, but he's not going to make us do it. And, you know, he's going to hold out those that will change to be like his image he's going to live with. Probably my commentary on that. If you are willing to be obedient, willing and obedient. So he desires to be with us if we are willing to be obedient. That's Gordon. What is the desire of your heart? So Gordon spoke a lot about our desire. Are you stripped of pride and envy? He strengthens those that are in him. Once again, the third person to speak about God strengthening those things in him. As long as we're in him, in the vine, if you will. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And finally, the great commentary on 2 Nephi 13 about the principles of the gospel and then pressing forward to the end in faith, hope, and love. This morning, I wanted to speak, remember before I left, I wanted to speak about something. We're going to get to that just in a second, because I do see I have some pictures. Why do we have or travel to church reunions? This is our church reunion. Why do we do it? I want to just think about that. Why do we do that?
Fellowship.
Good answer. To New York reunion. Yeah, you know, overseas, I can, when I show stuff like that, they think that's me singing, so I don't correct them. I love hearing Joel, and that was McKenna, his other daughter, singing, but he sings with Amy a lot too. Fellowship. That's the reason I go, and I think that's the same as what I heard out there. A lot of us go because of the fellowship. And I wanted to speak about that a couple of weeks ago. The time is right now. What is fellowship? And this is out of Strong's. When it quotes fellowship, this is the Greek. Fellowship, the association, community, communion, joint participation, intercourse. A share which one has anything, participation. Fellowship, intimacy. The right hand, a sign, a pledge of fellowship. That's when they use the word fellowship when they offered Paul the right hand of fellowship. A gift jointly contributed. A collection, contribution, as exhibiting the embodiment and the proof of fellowship. So these are more than just a group meeting. Fellowship is more. It's an intimacy that you have with that group. That is fellowship. And it, like I say, these bonds that we make and that we have with that fellowship, you know, that's Abby that came to our reunion. You know, Amanda's known her since they were too young to even manage to speak Spanish, and they used to growl and run around and play, even without a language. But from 4 or 5 on, these girls have been, over 20 years, have been friends. And those are the bonds we get through these traveling and in these reunions. We grow, our differences fade away when we travel to these groups. And, you know, I remember I had some pretty hard, you know, I'm pretty feisty, type A personality, no doubt. And I had some pretty rough edges, and it was either my way or the highway when I was a young man. And I was staunch in some beliefs, and I would not budge. I still think I'm right on some of those, but I've softened. I've softened to accept that other people have different opinions. And a lot of times, you know, it's not a salvation issue. In fact, I would say the difference in the Church of Christ, none of them, the differences we have are salvation issues. And so looking at that view, they're honest in heart. And my position has changed, and I think a lot of us have changed over the years because we see where the others are thinking. And they're honest in heart about it. They're misguided, but they're honest in heart about it. And so those differences don't really make a whole lot of difference. They're blessed just as much as I am, maybe more. So in God's eyes, it doesn't make a difference. You know, we still, you know, have our opinions, but, you know, it becomes a unity thing. When we travel, we see differences, and they don't separate us anymore. And so that's what, you know, I can see the great thing about fellowship and traveling to those reunions. Fellowship. John has some strong words on it. Fellowship, a way of life with the Father, the Son, and His sons and daughters. And here's some verses that John has. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have the fellowship of one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And I want to read that again, or make emphasis. Only if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of the Son of Christ cleanses us. So if we do not, it does not cleanse us. So that fellowship with Jesus Christ is all important. That fellowship with each other is all important. They had fellowship on this land before the time of Christ. This is BC. And they had fellowship amongst the church. Helaman 2, 119 through 121. For behold, there were many of the Nephites. They did reject the word of God. Nevertheless, the people of the church did have great joy because of the conversion of the Lamanites, yea, because of the church of God which had been established among them. At that time, the Lamanites, I think, actually crossed over, and now they were the righteous group. And it's a brief time period that you find the Lamanites are the righteous group. And you have that just after this, you'll read about Samuel the Lamanite coming to the Nephites, and he was trying to convert who? The Nephites. You know, you got the Lamanites coming in trying to convert over and get to change the Nephites. Yea, because of the church of God which has been established among them. And they did fellowship one another and did rejoice one another and have great joy. We're to have great joy in that fellowship. There are some restrictions on our fellowship. He doesn't, you know, that personal bond that we're to have, that oneness, He has some restrictions on that. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reject, reprove. That's verbally reject it.
For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them, persons, in secret. And once again, one other one on that, and there's more, but I'm just going to give you these two. 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, okay, so now it's speaking of one in the church, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extorter, with such a one, not to eat. And, it's hard words. It's hard words, and hard for us to carry this out. But unless we're unless we're trying to convert them or change them over, we're not to have fellowship or modify them. And I've caught flack from this one, but it's Christ's words, I think, and both came through Paul. So restrictions on that. We're to watch our fellowship. And we're going to get more into that, why we have to do that. Why is it a good thing to have fellowships with our brothers and sisters? Fellowship, a way of Christian life in both lands. And I want to turn to our example, or one of our best examples on this fellowship, in Acts 2:41 through 45. This is after the day of Pentecost. They were given the Holy Spirit. Christ had left, so now the people in Jerusalem could also have the Holy Spirit. And then they were gladly received the word of baptism. And the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. And you see that little thing I have there, you probably can't read that blue one there. It says apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And why did they list those? And I look at those, and I find this online. You know, you can see that these prayers that the church was doing were probably in a prayer meeting, right? They met as church. They prayed in the church. They prayed in their. At this time, their church was definitely in their homes. They had prayer meetings, breaking of bread. That's talking about. If you look in other places, that's talking about sacrament service. So you have prayer meetings, sacrament services. You have apostles' doctrines. That's very could be the preaching services that they had, and then you have the. They continued in fellowship. What is that? You know, they continued in that. And I look and pondered that, and I look at fellowship as just another meeting, if you will. It's a informal meeting, if you will. But they continued in that. And not only that, but let me continue to read here. They continued in that. And they fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and their goods, and parted them to the men as every man had need. All right, so we're not going to talk too much about all things common, but that they had all things common throughout the church. Okay, they only sold their things in that area. They only sold. They still had houses in that area and so forth. But they had this large group that they had to take care of. But if you read the early history, they had all things common through the church. It doesn't mean we have to sell everything we have. And I spoke on this before. That's where we're going. If you don't like that idea, that's where we're going. Like it or not. Because it's not a thing about selling our stuff. It's not a thing about having all things common. It's a condition. It's a condition that these people were in, that they could live like that for hundreds of years. It's a condition that we're going to read on both lands. That's what condition we're shooting for. That's what condition we're going to have in this church. Let us read first chapter 1 through 12, 12 and 13 in the first chapter of Acts, one page back. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. How far is that? Does anybody know? I mean, Mount of Olives is close. I mean, you can't throw a rock, but you can see it. It's a half a mile or maybe. I don't know. It's close, really close. It's across the valley, right? So that's a Sabbath day journey. That's where they heard Christ the last time, and now they were told to wait. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room and were abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealots, Judas the brother of James. Okay, so that's pretty much all of them, isn't it? All the apostles that are left. And I want to look, and what does that word abode mean? So I looked it up last night. What does that mean to anybody, abode?
To live together.
But you know, that's the only, you know, they translated from the Greek, and they used a word there that means permanently remain. Interesting. These guys were in it for the long haul together. Now, how many of us want to live with at least 12 plus their wives in one home? You know, I don't know. I hope that building is bigger than most. But that was their. That was called their permanent abode, their permanent home. Interesting. You know, that condition, that way of life. You know, did God tell them to do that? And he didn't on either land, but they chose that because of their condition. Let us turn to 4th Nephi, alluded to just a minute ago. 4th Nephi, there's only one chapter, so it's chapter 1. We're not going to read all this, but just the highlights that I want to bring out today. 682. Fourth verse. Oh, wait a sec. And they had all things common among them. Same thing. God didn't tell them to do that. They just did it. It means they shared everything they had in common. The idea that they would hold back was not known to them. And it lasts for a couple hundred years on both lands, that idea of all things common. Because of that mindset, they were not rich or poor, bond or free, but they were all made free, partakers of the heavenly gift. It's a condition we'll have in the Church of Christ. That's where we're going. 13 and 14. And they didn't walk anymore after the performance of the ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments they had received from the Lord their God, continuing to fasting and prayer, and to the meeting together oft. And you find that. You find it in the New Testament. You find it in the Book of Mormon. They did meet together, and actually the Lord told them they were commanded to meet together oft. Why do we do that? Why are we commanded to meet together oft? Both to fast and to prayer and to hear the word of God. 14. It came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land. There were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. You know, it's almost because they met together oft and they did the things of the Lord oft, there was no contention. You can't have contention. Contention only comes through pride. If there's no pride, there's no contention. You don't get mad. And by strengthening in the Lord, meeting together oft, and they don't say fellowship here, but they imply it many times. Let us continue to read. 17 through 19. And it came to pass there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there was no envyings, no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor murders, nor any kind of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which were created by the hand of God. So at no time this brother that wrote this felt there could have been a happier people ever. You know, there was no evil around anymore. Certainly a time that we'll have in the future. And that condition, we're not given only a couple of pages to know for 200 years. Everything was beautiful. What else can we say, they say? But anyway, that condition that they were in is something we're striving for and we're going to have in the Church of Christ. And if you look at it, many things are done. If you look at what they did, we fast in prayer in church. We do it in our homes also. And we also sing usually in our church. We have sermons in our churches. But some of the things are done outside of the church, in that fellowship. We do a lot of things. We do a lot of work. And like I say, I look at it as just another service, and we do different things. We do different things. We encourage. We get to know each other. We put down our differences. We exhort. Many of those things are done in our fellowship meetings. And that's why the apostles, and they continued in that fellowship. It's just almost as important, that fellowship in the Lord. Togetherness equals strength. Hebrews 3:13. And I exhort, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Daily, it says there, exhort each other. We may not be in service every day, but we strengthen each other daily. That's the point of the gospel. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Assembling to make the right choices. Hebrews 10:20-26. And I don't know if you can see this little comic I have here. It says, "Pooey on them. I can do it just as well on my own." Okay, let's turn to Hebrews. And I'm actually almost all through my slides. That's why I didn't write this one out. I made us turn to it. Got a page number, Betsy? For me? She has the same Bible, so it works. All right. 10 is... 10:23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for as He is faithful, for He is faithful that promised. In other words, Jesus Christ. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So it's the only time that word is used actually in the Greek also. Provoke unto love. Provoke unto love. Can you imagine? We're to provoke each other to make the right decisions, to love and to good works. And that's not always done. You know, when am I supposed to do that? From the pulpit I can do that. But we do that in a setting a lot of times outside of church. Not forsaking to assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I see the day approaching, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to exhort you. And we exhort each other. A lot of good work. And I want to show you this next one. I think it's very good. That strength that we get, that exhorting we get from one another, it comes from being amongst fellow Christians, in the church and out of the church. Being, we strengthen each other. Fellowship in the vine brings forth good fruit. And John, he spoke in his other gospel, "I am the vine." Now, this is Jesus Christ. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And on the one hand, you have fruit that doesn't get that strength from its brothers and sisters, whether in or out of the church. And then you have the other one. It's abundance. The fruit is growing. And so we have to abide. It says we have to abide in that fellowship with one another, and we have to abide in that fellowship with Jesus Christ and God. Serving each other. I mentioned this, that our brother gave a sermon on, and he gave it in his sermon, Brother Addy. And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God. And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of God. I might have doubled that. I did. I was going to think that was one of those schisms there for a second, but I just doubled that one. You know, and an example, I thought about that to add it. Look at all the work went into reunion. We were serving our brothers and sisters in this, and the work that Randy and our brother Adam has done putting these things together, and our brother Rick getting the paperwork done. And I don't want to leave anybody out on that, but your service to the church, you know, is serving fellow beings. And I don't know if you've all seen it, but our foundation is in out there, and a lot of dirt was moved. So thank you all for participating in the reunion or in the expansion of the church. Will you go? Isaiah says this, and we're studying this in our Tuesday night study. Join us if you can. We're on the internet every Tuesday. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and a shining flaming sword by night, and upon all the glory shall be a defense. That's talking about a time in our future. Every scholar nowadays will tell you that. There's going to be a time of trouble coming. And it's going to come to this land. And there's going to be a place set aside that's called the Zion. And it's going to be a place that's, they call it a sanctuary in some places. It's a place of refuge. And I'm asking you, would you go? Are we comfortable in our own lives? You know, say one of us had a vision that it was time to go to Zion, destruction's coming, would we go? If two of us, if five of us had, would you go? If you were convinced of God, that it was God telling you to go, would you go? Would you go? You know, it's going to be a condition like they had in both lands for over 200 years. You're going to have to live with other people close. It's not your cup of tea for most of you. You're Americans. You like to live and have your own private thing and have your own space. It's hard. It's hard for Americans to do that. But that's what the call is going to come. Or are you going to say, no, good God, I'm good dying that horrible death right here. Thank you very much. We have to make some changes in our attitudes on that strength we get from each other. God desires it, but won't make us. Let's turn to that third Nephi. I'll read of that time in the Bible or Book of Mormon also. Just covered. I'm not going to cover it again. Yeah, maybe I will. Just this is talking about 106. Is talking about is destroying our cities and so forth. This is almost certainly. Includes, if not pointedly, the United States. Start reading I'm 106, yeah, page 664. If you want to read on what's going to happen, just start reading about on page, start about 85, and you'll see that that includes the United States, if not directly the United States. I think it is directly. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day, so there comes a day in our future, Whosoever will not repent and come unto the beloved Son, them I will cut off from among my people. In the O house of Israel, I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. And to me, that's the great tribulation starting right there. That tribulation. After they attack Israel, after they attack the church, he's going to have vengeance on them. Matthew 24, if you want to read some of that. And if they will repent, verse 1, and hearken unto my words, and hearken not unto the hearts, I will establish my church among them. Not that the church isn't already established, but in the different areas they do repent. Like Ethiopia right now, we have churches starting there. We have a large number of churches, more churches outside the United States, far more than we do have in the United States. But that the United States will repent and we'll have churches here too. More. And they shall come unto the covenant. That covenant is done through baptism. And be numbered among the remnants of Jacob. And Jacob is, okay. And unto this the remnant of Jacob. That's the house of Joseph there. And unto I have given this land for their inheritance. Talking about United States. Still talking about United States here. And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. We're going to assist the house of Israel, the Placidos and that group. We're going to assist them. And also, as many as the house of Israel shall come, that they build a city which is called the New Jerusalem. Another place is called the Sanctuary, a place of refuge during this time of trouble. And we're going to build a city, if you're willing to come. And they shall assist my people that may be gathered in, which are scattered upon the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I will be in the midst. Jesus Christ is going to be there. And then shall the work of the Father commence, even at that day when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. It's going to go out in power more so into the Indians that are here, the indigenous throughout the Americas. And I say unto you, at that day the work of the Father shall commence among all my dispersed people, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father has led away out of Jerusalem. We don't know where they're at right now, the 10 tribes. But we're going to know. And we're going to go amongst those people. Whether they're in the Turkey, that group over there, the Kurds, whoever they are, wherever they are, we're going to go. And it's going to go forward. And but the main point is that we're going to have close fellowship at that day. And it's going to last a long time. And we have to get our minds around the idea that God desires that thing. Last slide. I didn't know it when I started pulling up the references, but let's turn to this. The idea that we had last week is a core foundation of my sermon this week. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, I got it. 14 reads this way. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Bela? Or what part hath he had believers with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And ye are temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. One more verse. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God desires us not only to come to church, but he desires to have that fellowship and be yoked with our brothers and sisters. You know, what happens when you get a, what happens if one of those cows is a crazy cow? Huh? You don't have straight rows any. You don't have straight rows, do you, anymore? The people in our life influence us. The way we go, the way we think, what we do. And so we have to yoke ourselves with our brothers and sisters, our like-minded, to keep us on track, to keep our our strength, to keep us in the right way, to exhort, to encourage, to keep us going the right way all the time. In the service and church, and in the service of fellowship. Thank you for your time.